teachers who have crept into the church unnoticed and are bent on causing maximum destruction in the church. He has exposed them. He has shown some of their characteristics. And now he addresses true believers, the believers that he was writing to. He addresses them. And he addresses them on how to practically contend for the truth, the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And he indeed advises them and addresses them on how to prosper spiritually in times of increasing error in the church. And this is what Jude is doing at this time. So he begins in verses 17 to 19 to remind his fellow believers of apostolic warnings. Apostolic warnings that were given, of course, concerning these false teachers, these heretical teachers that he's talking about at this point in time. And these are warnings that he's given that should be an incentive to all believers to discern and also to avoid such false teachers, and then to seek by God's grace, by the leading of the Spirit of the living God, to maintain fellowship only with faithful and true teachers of the true gospel of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at remember apostolic warnings, I want us to consider in the first place, remember the apostles' words. He says, remember the apostles' words. Secondly, we'll consider a particular warning of the apostles, a particular warning of the apostles. And then thirdly, we'll think of spiritual state of the mockers. Spiritual state of the mockers. So let's begin then with remember the apostles' words. Remember the apostles' words. In verse 17, Jude writes, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So first, Jude reassures faithful believers, those who are seeking to follow the truth that has once for all been delivered to the saints. So he addresses and he reassures these faithful believers. And he assures them of this fact, that the sin and the opposition of these heretical teachers is exactly what they had been told to expect. It's not something that should take them completely by surprise, as it were. It is something that the apostles have warned against. Indeed, if you look at the scriptures in general, there were these warnings in the Old Testament. Because heretical teachers have been there. These false teachers have been there through time. So in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 23, and there in verses 14 and 17 of Jeremiah 23, we have an instance, Jeremiah 23, first verse 14 of Jeremiah 23. The prophet is led to say, "Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah." This is the Lord speaking through his servant, the prophet. And then in verse 17 of Jeremiah 23, he says, "They continually say to those who despise me," this is the Lord speaking through the prophet, "the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you." So even in the Old Testament times, these false teachers were there. And in the early church, they were there as well. So they were there in the Old Testament times. And the early church was not spared this, even with the presence of the apostles. For example, the apostle John, in 1 John and in chapter 2, he tells us in verses 18 and 19 of 1 John chapter 2, he says, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So even in the New Testament, in the New Testament church, the early church, at the time of the Apostle John says, they are there. So they were there with them. And they were in the church, and then they went out so that they would be revealed for who they were. False teachers. They went out of the church and revealed clearly who they were, false teachers that they were. In 2 John, and there in verse 7 of 2 John. 2 John is one chapter. 2 John and in verse 7, again the Apostle John writing says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. This false teacher, these deceivers, they were there in the Old Testament there, time. They were there in the early church, and they are here today. But indeed, again, as Jude reminds us here, the apostles did warn, and they warned that they were coming. And as we read and as we look indeed at the churches today, we see that they are there. They are everywhere. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in the first few verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 in particular, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Because some were teaching that. So verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Have you forgotten? I told you. And we know in the church today that they are present. So that Jude's words here in verse 17 are a reminder of what the apostles have already mentioned. But also, when you look at Jude's words in verse 17, they are actually similar to what the apostle Peter warns in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and there in verse 2, the apostle Peter had said that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. So they're very similar to the words of the apostle Peter there in 2 Peter chapter 3. And his chief emphasis here, that is Jude, is to reveal this fact to us, to make this known to his readers. He wants them to remember the apostles' words, because they were prone to forget, just as we are prone to forget today. And this morning, in God's providence, in the Sunday school, the children were taught to remember, not to forget, not to be forgetful of God's words. And here, the emphasis of Jude is that we do not forget, but remember. Remember the warnings or the words of the apostles. And in reminding us to think and remember the words of the apostles, when you think of the New Testament especially, you'll notice actually our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the first person to warn about these false teachers, about these heretical teachers, these deceivers, these ones who will come into the church like sheep, but they're actually wolves in sheep's skin. And in Matthew's gospel, chapter 7, our Lord Jesus Christ warns concerning this same people who were to come. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7, the Lord says, beware of false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly They are ravenous wolves. And then if you compare that with Matthew 24, you will see clearly the similarity. In Matthew chapter 24 and there in verse 11, our Lord says again, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So that it was actually our Lord Jesus Christ who first warned about these false teachers who were going to come into the church. The Apostle Paul warned the Ephesians. He's in writing to the church at Ephesus. He says in Ephesians, and there in Ephesians, warning them and the Ephesian elders in the Acts of the Apostles, having called them to himself. If you turn with me, please, first to Acts chapter 20, in verses 28 to 30, the Apostle Paul had called the Ephesian elders, and he was speaking to them, and he was on his way to Jerusalem, and at this time, he didn't know what was going to happen, and whether he would see them again, but he calls them, and they meet up on the way, and there in Acts chapter 20, in verses 28 to 30, the Apostle says, therefore, take heed to yourselves, and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So the apostle calls the elders and he warns them. He says, some will come in, but even from amongst you, some will arise. And they will deceive many and pull many away to themselves for their own selfish ends, as it were. This is what will happen. And what is happening in the church today? And writing then to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul says in verses 12 to 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, verse 12, 2 Corinthians 11, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if these ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So he warns the Corinthian brethren. He says, there are these ones who are coming, and they will come. And they will present themselves as ministers of light, ministers of righteousness. But at the end, they will be seen clearly for who they are, and they will receive their just reward even from the true and the living God. Similarly, the Apostle Peter, when you look at 2 Peter and chapter 2 in verse 1, the Apostle Peter also writing, he says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So he warns, there were, but there will also be. And these ones are going to bring swift judgment, he says, among themselves, these false teachers. And the Apostle John warned believers not to believe every spirit, because many false prophets have gone out. When you look at 1 John, and there in chapter 4 and verse 1, this is what the Apostle John says. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, beloved, he said, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So here, Jude says, remember, don't forget, because he knows. And we have seen it many times before. We are prone to forget, prone not to remember even the God that we love, the Lord Jesus Christ that has saved us. We are prone to forget. And Jude says, remember the warnings of the apostles. Secondly, says there is a particular warning of the apostles, that he raises a particular warning of the apostles. In verse 18 of Jude, he says, how they told you that there will be mockers in the last time who will walk according to their own ungodly lusts. So Jude says, remember this particular warning of the apostles. There, they warned us concerning mockers that will arise in the church. Again, if you look at 2 Peter, and there in chapter 3 and verse 3, the Apostle Peter warns of this mockers as well. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 3. He says, knowing this first, that scoffers, is the same word, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. So there will be mockers or scoffers. And when the apostle, and when Jude say here, in the last days or in the last times, this is a period, if you like, which is in God's plan for the world that was partly accomplished with the first coming of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, but will be finally consummated in the second coming of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes in his glory to take his own, to be with him forever and ever. And if you look at 2 Timothy, for example, with me, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and there in verse 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of the last days as if it was at that time in the future. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and there in verse 1, he says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. It's as if the last days were to come. And we're a bit in the future from where he is talking. But if you look again at 1 Peter chapter 1, and there in verse 20, and also if you consider Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, you will notice there that the picture again is very clear, that the last time is already present. It's already at hand. So if we begin with 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter writes, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In this last times. So we're living, he says, in the last times. So the Lord who was foreordained was manifest in this last times for you or for us. Again, if you look at Hebrews chapter 1, and there in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 1, the Hebrew writer said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So this last days or last times is this period of time, as I've mentioned, in God's perfect plan, which began with the first coming of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and will be consummated with the second coming of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, Jude shows that these mockers, these scoffers, these false teachers, if you like, they will laugh. They laugh at those who will not walk like them. They mock, they scoff, they laugh at those who do not walk like themselves in the path of their own lusts. They mock them, they scoff at them, they laugh at them. They are scoffers, and scoffers, or to scoff here, means that these men are those who pour scorn on things. They mock, they laugh at, they pour scorn on things. And the chief object of their scorn, of course, is the moral demands of the holy God with whom we have to deal with. Don't have to emphasize that aspect of holiness. No. You can walk according to your desires. Be yourself, they say. Walk as your flesh leads you. And somehow they seem to spiritualize that. And they seem to make it appear as if it is the highest attainment. And they glory in it. And this is what these scoffers, these mockers do. And their purpose in life, actually, is just to satisfy their ungodly desires. That's their purpose in life, to satisfy their ungodly desires. And so they follow only where their own ungodly passions and ungodly desires lead them. That's what they follow. Their desires, their passion is their God. And that is what they follow, and that's where they go. But in 2 Peter, and there in chapter 3 of 2 Peter and verse 4, Peter takes this description of these mockers, and he shows that actually they were also speaking of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with contempt. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and there in verse 4, he has said in verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Then he says in verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He said, look at yourselves. We've been hearing this. He's coming again. He's coming. When? The fathers who told us they are dead. He still hasn't come. Where is this coming that you're talking about? And they mock it. They laugh at it. But when you think about it carefully, you will say, no wonder. They need to laugh at that. They have to laugh at that. You see, those who mock God's laws, those who mock the holiness of God, will by nature and naturally mock the return or the second coming of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It follows. It is obvious. Why? Because they do not want to be accountable to God for their sins. They don't want to be accountable before God for their sins now. And certainly they don't want to be accountable to God for their sins in the future. And the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ tells of a day of reckoning, of a day of judgment. So they will mock it. They will laugh at it. If they laugh at the holiness of God, at living a righteous life today, if they don't want it, surely they don't want to account for it in the future. And the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ speaks about that. It says there's a day of reckoning. There's a day of judgment. We all will stand and will give an account. They don't want to give an account, just as they don't want to give an account today. So naturally, they will have nothing to do with that. They don't want it. They don't like it. So here we see, the apostles' words, warning concerning the apostles' words. Remember the apostles' words. Secondly, we see a particular warning concerning these scoffers or mockers, you know, as Jude calls them here. Thirdly, we see the spiritual state of these mockers, these scoffers. In verse 19, Jude says, these are sensual persons who cause divisions according to their own ungodly lusts. So here Jude gives us three concise descriptions of the spiritual state, the spiritual condition of these false teachers. And he is giving them to believers, those he refers to as brothers and sisters in Christ, his own friends. He's writing them and spelling them out so that believers will take note of these descriptions and take note of those who come as such. So the first thing Jude says here is that they are those who cause divisions, verse 19. These are sensual persons who cause divisions. So they cause divisions. This is what he is talking about. And when Jude says, these are those who cause division, the word that he uses there refers to both the motivation behind their behavior, and also it talks about the effect of their action, the divisive effect of their actions. They are those who cause divisions. And they do that by making distinctions. So they make distinctions. They portray themselves as having an elite kind of understanding of the truth. So they are superior to the teachers, to the ordinary teachers in the church, to those common teachers that God has given to the church. They are superior to them. They have an elite kind of understanding of this truth that has been revealed and given to us. And they rebel against any authority in the church, the authority of the church leaders. They rebel against that because they claim spiritual superiority anyway to this church, God-given church leaders. And we have seen already that as they do that, they actually attach themselves to the rich in the church. Remember, Jude has shown that to us. He said that in verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and they have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. So, and then in verse 16, he has also told us that these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling word, flattering people to gain advantage. They flatter people for gain. So they attach themselves to the well-to-do, to the rich. They flatter them in order that they may gain from them. Already, Jude has told us concerning these people anyway. This is the kind of people they are, and this is exactly what they do. They cause divisions within the church, attach themselves to the rich part of the congregation for their own personal gains. This is who they are. They make distinctions. And if you compare that to what the Pharisees were doing, if you look at Mark's gospel with me, please. The gospel of Mark, and there in chapter 7, verses 5 to 8 of Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, from verse 5. We read there. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. They were people who had laid aside the true word, the law of God, and had accumulated laws, man-made laws. And these are the laws that they promoted to the people. And they emphasized them. And they emphasized them, if you like, as the custodians of the law of God. But instead of pointing the people to the law that is given by God, they point them to the laws that they have made over and above the law of God. That's how they were. And the Lord had warned that false teachers like them will come. And they are in the church today. We have them today. They rebel against the authority of God's ordained leaders in the church because they claim spiritual authority and attaching themselves to the rich. But secondly, Jude tells us here in verse 19 that these were sensual persons. Having described what they do, he shows us here what motivates them to do all that they were doing. He says at the beginning of verse 19, these are sensual persons. And when he says they are sensual persons, he means they are people who are governed by their natural instincts, or what people will describe sometimes as animal instincts. They were living at the level of the natural, earthly, animal life. This is what they are, says Jude. And the meaning of being sensual is now then further explained by the third description of these false teachers, these heretic teachers. He says in verse 19, these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. They are sensual because they do not have the Spirit. They may have claimed spiritual revelations, as he mentioned in verse 8. These people may have claimed spiritual revelations, and they may have claimed spiritual superiority, but they are actually, says Jude here, spiritual terrorists, because they are dead in trespasses and sins. They do not have the Spirit of the living God. So instead of those who have the Spirit, they are actually spiritual terrorists. They do not honor the Holy Spirit. No, but they are terrorists in the church of the living God. As men who claim to be spiritual, they were actually dominated by their ungodly lusts, says Jude. And we've seen that in verse 18. They are not at all in any way dominated by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Not at all. They don't have the Spirit, he says. They are actually dominated and taken up by their ungodly lusts. And this is whom Titus describes in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. These are who they are. And this is what Jude is telling us. And it is important to note this. No amount of pious verbal claims, no amount of grand, pious, or spiritual words, no matter how much a person claims them, no matter how much a person uses them in order to show that he is spiritual, no amount of this spiritual or pious words and claims to being spiritual can overcome the negative evidence that is openly portrayed by the ungodly life of an individual. No matter how much he claims to be spiritual, no matter how much he claims to be pious and to be one who is close to God, who has spiritual revelations, who has, if you like, a higher knowledge of the things of the Spirit and the things of God, no matter how much words he uses or how much he claims that, that can never, ever overcome the negative effect of the evidence that is openly portrayed by the ungodly life of such a person. Nobody who comes and lives an ungodly life and makes any kind of grand claims in the church can claim to be spiritual when his life is clearly showing the opposite. And anybody who follows such a one is deceiving himself. If God, by his grace and mercy, reveals such ones and openly shows us their lives, their sinful lives, and they come to the church and claim otherwise, anyone who follows them is deliberately rejecting the witness of God to him. But God is saying, see the kind of person he is. You keep following such a one and whatever he's saying and giving excuses for such a one, then you have yourself to blame. Nobody else. Let me finish then this morning by making one or two applications. Jude calls on true believers to remember the apostles' words. To remember the apostles' warnings. And this is vitally important because regular reminder of truth is a very important and great help and relief for our souls as believers. But we do forget, and we forget easily, and we need to be reminded. Apostle Peter says, I'll keep reminding you as long as I'm in the flesh. The Apostle Paul says similar things. And if you look at John's gospel, for example, in John chapter 2, and there in verse 22, this is what he says. John chapter 2, verse 22. Therefore, when he had risen, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 2, 22, therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. The Lord used his resurrection to remind them of what he has said. He has given us his word, the written word of God, the scriptures, to remind us of what he said and the warnings of the apostles. And Jude is reminding us to remember and consider the warning that we have here in the scriptures. And the remembrance of scripture encourages and confirms our souls. The promises of God, when we are facing the difficulties of life, when we remember the promises of God, how they lift us up from our despair and despondency and cause us to look to him who has promised, because we have come to know him who is faithful to his promises. But we do forget. But when we go back to the scriptures, we are reminded and we remember. And the remembrance of scripture, yes, encourages and confirms our souls. But this remembrance also supports the soul against our present distress and all the temptations that life throws at us. When we remember God's word, then we are supported. Then we are strengthened against present day distress, that is, the suffering and the pain that we go through. When we remember God's word and who he is, then we can lift our heads high and walk, knowing that no matter what the evil one throws at us, we know that it is well with us because the Lord is with us. But we forget, and we need reminders, and we need to remember. And it's important to note this. Both sins and discomforts arise mostly from forgetfulness and the lack of actual remembrance of God's word. We forget, and sometimes we do not actually remember the word. And sometimes we do not remember, maybe willingly, at other times it is unwillingly. But whichever be the case, sins and discomforts in this life mostly arise from our forgetfulness and from our lack of actual remembrance of the word of God, the word of scripture. Secondly, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and there in verse 9, it says, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. And there is nothing truly new under the sun. Just as there is nothing new about the current apostasy that we see in the church today. So many teachers, false teachers in the church, people teaching error and falsehood, people teaching so-called prosperity gospel, and that many other things which are not gospel at all. They're there in the church. They have been there. And we have been warned in scripture that they will come and they will be there. Because false teachers were there in the Old Testament times. They were there indeed in the early church. And false teachers and apostles and prophets will always be in the church until the Lord comes. They're there. So we should not be surprised. And Jude wants us not to be surprised that these men are using the name of the Lord for their own personal gain and for their own personal advantage. Not for the glory of God, not for the good of the church, but they are for their selfish personal gain. And there are many in the world today. We must not be deceived by their heretical teachings, and we must never be taken in by their so-called inner spiritual revelations. We must be careful not to be taken in by these men, because there are many, and there are many in the world today. We must do everything, God helping us, to avoid them, and then we must do everything, God helping us by His Spirit, to maintain fellowship only with faithful teachers of the truth. That faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. Thirdly, if you're not a true believer in our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, then listen to what God's word says in Acts chapter 17. There in verses 30 and 31 of Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul at Athens says to the people, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. So that according to Scripture, and according to our Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not a believer, you are to repent of your sins and you are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Because He alone who is saved. There is no salvation in any other. There is only one name given in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth by which we might be saved. And that name is the name of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not to believe or to follow any man, no matter how good he may be, no matter how smart, no matter how logical, no matter how spiritual he may appear or sound to you. You follow no man. You follow and you believe in and follow only our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to follow God's word. It is God's word alone that is the truth. Let every man be a liar, and let God alone be true. Because He alone is the way, the truth, and the life, our Lord Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through Him. He alone saves, and He saves fully, He saves completely, and He saves to the uttermost. There is no other who can save. Only the Lord can save. And He saves fully and completely. The Apostle Paul declares, even as he writes to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 1, and there in verse 8 of Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatian brethren, he says to them, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And whoever that person may be, if he preaches anything that you cannot corroborate and confirm in the Scriptures, let that person be accursed according to God's word. Don't believe anything that is contrary to God's word. Don't follow any human being. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, and then you will be saved. That is His promise. And He who has promised is true, He is faithful, and He will do exactly what He has promised. But if you believe a man and follow a man, then you will perish with a man." May the Lord help us to believe God and God alone, and let every other human being be a liar. Amen. Let us pray.